Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
Super excited and really honored today to have none other than Gaston on the show. Gaston is right now the CEO of TPay, but also holds a number of different positions and advisory positions, board positions across growth companies in the fintech ecosystem. So, you know, super excited, Gaston, to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Brilliant. And, you know, I'm asking everyone this question up front, just to get a sense as to what they think's going to be happening in the new year. What right now really excites you about fintech?
That's an interesting question, actually. As you rightly pointed out, I started at TPay recently, which is a company mainly focused on the Middle East and Africa. And there you see with relatively low financial inclusion that fintech can really make services, financial services, but also other services really available to a really large group of people who don't have access to traditional financial services. So it really excites me that it can really contribute to financial inclusion and to really improving people's lives. That's quite different from where I came from in Western Europe, basically, where fintech serves quite another purpose. But especially, I like this contribution that fintech can bring. So that excites me really today in the role that I have now.
Brilliant. And that's a big thing. And actually one of the cornerstones as to why fintech was and is currently really being adopted across all geographies, really.
Right? Absolutely true. I think fintech is really lowering the threshold to for many services, and also to where banks really and other financial services like insurance companies dropped the ball a little bit. It has become much more accessible. It has become cheaper. It has become more flexible, much more attuned to the needs of today's consumers. And I think these lessons that have been learned and these scale-ups and these productization that we've seen in Western Europe can be really applied to Africa. So they don't have to reinvent the wheel, but they can really get the benefits from everything that has been happening in the fintech revolution in this part of the world. So really excited to be able to bring that to this region and to really accelerate also the adoption, the financial inclusion, the rollout of services there, and to facilitate that by fintech solutions.
Yeah, and just before we hit record today, we were both mulling over some of the challenges that are going on in a macroeconomic perspective, both politically. We've got over here, we've got Brexit, we've got different people coming in and out of number 10. I say with a smile on my face, but it's not really anything to laugh about. We have obviously inflation, interest rates. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world. And, you know, that also has obviously had an effect during 2022 in the fintech industry. We know that some have lowered value, some companies have been lower valuations, and even some of the bigger players have really had some tough times of late. And, you know, looking at that and the broader picture, the broader macroeconomic picture, what do you think, you know, as we move into 2023, what do you think some of the biggest challenges are facing the industry right now?
Yeah, obviously there have been interesting times, to call it like that. So, and it obviously affected consumer confidence. It also affected investor confidence. So that has been challenging for the fintech industry as well. I think the fintech industry in general takes a little bit of a lesser hit because it has a very infrastructural component to it. So there's always a need to pay for goods and services. And as companies are also looking at their operations again and making them more efficient, you see that things are digitizing further, and then payment needs will only increase in a digital manner. So I think that creates a solid foundation for investments in fintech. But nevertheless, you saw the valuations going down. So if you were unlucky to have to raise funds in especially the beginning of this year with all the uncertainties, then you had to take quite a hit on that, and that's unfortunate. And especially, I think, for companies who might be less in the infrastructural part, but more in, I don't want to name names, but more in a, for example, in consumer credit and other elements which might be harder hit by economic downturn. Challenges in general, I mean, if I look at the region where I'm working now, you see that there's we're dealing with obviously regulation, which is very diverse across the region. So that makes it relatively difficult to navigate a relatively large continent with really high potentials in terms of the tax savviness and the age of people and the way they deal with mobile. But what I see especially also is exchange controls, which have been very strict by countries, which makes it quite challenging if you are serving international merchants who just want to be paid in hard currency while you're collecting in local currency in many countries to as a company get those currencies out and converted, and being able to settle that with your large merchants. It's quite technical, but you see that with the energy prices, with the food prices, with the countries are very restrictive on their hard currencies, and that is obviously not that easy of an environment to function in as a fintech company. The other challenge that I see, I mean, and I'm focusing mainly on MIA because that's where I'm working now, but you see that the financial inclusiveness, which has the positive side that you can really add to that as a fintech company, you see that the other side of the coin is that you will have to use relatively expensive payment methods there, for example, through mobile phones and direct carrier billing. And those payment methods simply are, due to their cost, much less suited for non-high margin business. So if you're talking about digital goods, that's all fine, gaming, app stores, video on demand, ad tech maybe, or insure tech. But if you're talking about traditional e-commerce, that is very difficult to facilitate with payment methods which are not based on direct access to accounts or wallets. This is even apart from the fact that the logistics network in Africa for the distribution of goods is a challenge. So that's some of the things, but also more of the sort of common challenges. The digitization obviously also leads to higher levels of cyber security, which is required. And there's simply also a war on talent. There are countries with very good talent in Nigeria, for example, in Egypt, lots of talent, and also lots of talent identified by Western European companies who are really hunting for good people everywhere. So there are some very regional specific challenges, but also some common challenges which also we have to deal with as a company. So
yeah, and I mean just to add to that, I've also in my conversations with folk over the last few months also been struck by the word trust, right? Consumer trust remains relatively low in this new digital world. And, you know, I guess traditionally fledgling companies find trust through building out their brand and going to market, whereas fintechs and what have you haven't been able to do that as quickly as they wanted to. And that's been an ongoing pattern. It seems like it's been an ongoing pattern over the last several years. And customers ultimately define trust as financial institutions having the ability to keep their money and also their data safe. So that seems to be a thing that's really top of mind when you not only looking to raise awareness of your brand, but also it's going to at one point in time help drive profitability.
Absolutely true. I think that mainly goes obviously for fintechs and financial institutions is actually hold funds. If you're processing payments, it's less, and often you're in the background, you're not even visible to consumers. But absolutely true. It's financial services has always been a trust based business, and not only trust in keeping your funds safe, but also your data. And that's in times of economic decline, I think that despite all the issues that we've been having in the banking industry, that consumers still tend to rely on the old names and the bigger companies. So that's a more psychological disadvantage, I think, that fintech has, that they get on top of all the other challenges now in this economic climate. Absolutely true.
And talking about the economic climate, I mean, you alluded to some of the investment activity tailing off over the last year. Well, we both mentioned that. And as we sort of move into 2023, do you think with the heightened possibility of a recession, is that going to dampen investment in the fintech space, maybe in some areas more than others?
I think it definitely will for now. You see that, for example, e-commerce volumes, despite the migration that happened in COVID from physical stores to e-com, you see that after COVID sort of finished, that the e-com volumes also dropped. So there has been less of a confidence in general in the sort of infinite growth of digital transactions and all services and goods moving online. And that's on top of that, you get more of a recession-based sort of gloominess, where I think investors are looking to see what the next wave will be of real digital transactions, where the growth has to come from, because it will no longer come from the migration of the more traditional goods and services online. So I think there's still some holding back, as also the growth business models have not been attracting too much funding anymore. So there's also an expectation of consolidation. Who are the winners? Who are the losers? So, you know, when all of these dynamics play a role in these uncertainties, then investors just sit and wait. And they first want to see how the dynamics are panning out before they start investing again, and to see what the new winners are and the new trends in the market. So that will definitely have an effect, I think. That everyone saw that effect was there. Valuations going down, you know, also recalculating their own portfolio and seeing how their companies are doing. It is probably in most investment committees, it's a difficult discussion now to put a fintech or whatever other company on the table for investments.
It does seem, you know, just reading some reports recently, it does seem that M&A activity has continued to, you know, be on the rise. Yeah. and continue to move forward. I mean, and maybe that's more around consolidating sort of market presence and building out the infrastructure that we have in place. I mean, do you see that continuing, that M&A activity sort of continuing at good speed into 2023, yeah, although investment activity is low?
Absolutely. I think that, and I think that's also a predictable predictable consequence of the lower valuations, that it's less of an investment game and it becomes more of an M&A game. And I think the general perception in the market is that a lot of companies are undervalued now because of a lot of emotional effects on the whole valuation. So that is a really good time to really buy good businesses and expand yourself. But it's obviously only feasible for those companies who have a good war chest or have good shareholders who are willing to put that money in. But it will definitely create a trend of more M&A, of acquisitions, of consolidations in Mark. And I see that happening. I see the conversations going on. I see the reaching out by companies to see what you can do better together as a first step towards, you know, M&A activities. So that's definitely going to happen. So that's, yeah, I expect, I mean, in the first half of this year, it was very, very slow on the deal side in general, but I see the activity rising. I think 2023 will see a lot of M&A, a lot of acquisitions in this space. In the end, it's also, fintech is very much a scaling game, and you know, where there are logical combinations or where the same rails or the same back office can be used for much larger transaction volumes, that's makes a lot of sense in driving down the economies, the unit economies. Also, because I think that if you look at the more Western world and the fintech revolution that we've seen in the past years, especially in payments, you see that a lot of these payment instruments have really become commodities. You know, I will not mention companies, but like company A is not doing a credit card transaction much better than company B. So it is really a cost game. It's also an improvement game in terms of acceptance rates, in terms of driving down fraud. It becomes much more, there's much more data required. So it becomes a more of a fixed cost business where you have to have really smart solutions. And next to that, and I think that's also where M&A comes from. So it's on one hand, it's the it's improving scale. On the other hand, it's extending the value chain to find new parts of new growth in areas where you can really still make good margins on merchants. And that's what you see across the board. I think you see that if I'm talking from fintech specifically, you see that fintech companies are offering solutions to provide for working capital financing, to do more next to pay in, do more payout kind of activities. So actually make sure that actually further weakening the position of banks in that respect. So as long as money is on the move and as long as money is flowing through the system, try to keep that within the fintech company, and then providing current accounts, providing better integrations with ERP systems, providing credit proposals based on historical data, providing further, you know, customer analysis information based on financial data and other data. So you see that bigger companies are increasing in size and covering a much larger part of the value chain. And I expect that also, and I see that also to move and migrate to the Middle East and Africa, that you see that is also happening. There's also more buy now, pay later there, because in credit scoring could be challenging in certain countries, but you see that more and more innovative solutions are coming to the market. And as people start transacting more and more online, you see that more and more data becomes available to be able to support such solutions. So, yeah, so those are some of the things I'm seeing in the market.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Just picking up off a few things you're saying, and looking at, you know, 2023 and the trends, especially maybe from a growth or scaling perspective, and also from a new solutions coming to the market. What do you think are the biggest trends out there? Is, you know, are the likes of Web3, the metaverse, something to really concentrate on next year? Or is it more, again, looking at how to build out that AI infrastructure that really helps facilitate banks and institutions to get, you know, quality data into the executive office?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I've never been much of a dreamer. Basically, I very much look at the sort of the hype cycle of certain technologies and when they reach sort of the plateau of productivity. I think the metaverse, it's too early for that. That will take a couple of years. Also, when you look at blockchain and the real applications of that, it has been very slow, if not to say a little bit disappointing, maybe how that penetrates into the traditional fintech industry. I think some of the real, some of the more fundamental trends will continue in 2023. If I look at the region, for example, the Middle East, you see that has a very strong drive to become cashless. I mean, that's an obviously very old trend, but you see that in the UAE and in Saudi Arabia, they're really government initiatives to become a more cashless society. And that's also on the back of better anti-money laundering and all kind of other compliance kind of requirements to just create a safer environment and a more efficient economy. I mean, that might not be very, very sexy in terms of the of trends, but obviously it's a frontier which still is still there, and it's very, very difficult to drive out. In terms of what I see in terms of payment instruments in Africa, you see that wallets will really, you know, become much more dominant. And I actually hope, and I think there are some indications also, I think there will be more regional wallets, maybe like large companies from Far East, for example, might roll out wallet solutions across Africa, where it becomes much more easy to also trade cross-border and to have mobile access to digital money, also to pay out people much more easily, also if they are remote workers worldwide. So that's what I see. I see, as I said, BNPL on the rise. But I also see much more digitalization in what we call real-life services. So if you're talking about public transportation or utility bills that sometimes still have to be paid at the post office in many countries, like to really make the step there. So these are things maybe from a more of a Western perspective are not that spectacular, but I think that that these have can have an enormous impact on people and their daily lives and the efficiency and the safety and security with which they use payments. So yeah, with, you know, having said that and looking also at the possible recession, I and the willingness of investors to invest in real new risky technologies which are really, you know, bringing something new to the market, I think 2023 will be relatively quiet on that front. So it will probably be investing all in what we know works, in what brings efficiencies, what brings security. And data, I think, is becoming more and more important. That's absolutely a good point. AI infrastructure data, it's still, the payment data is still a very vast and untapped data source where I think, especially with the combination of all kind of other data sources, so much more can be, obviously taking into account all the privacy requirements that you might have. But so much more can be done with that, not only to provide commercial opportunities, but also to better advise consumers, to better help them in their everyday financial struggles or financial planning or what have you. So yeah, maybe I'm not as creative for that. But I mean,
totally agree with that. I mean, you just stick with what you know and sort of build on that infrastructure. Yeah. You know, as you wrap up the show, what is the message that you would like to give to those fintech leaders out there as they head into 2023? What's the one word of advice that you'd want to give them?
Oh, that's a very, very, very good one. Difficult. I would really, really advise everyone to become extremely merchant and extremely, extremely product focused. Basically, I think make sure scalability is in order. Make sure that you cater for your the real demands of your customers today and tomorrow. Use data in an optimal manner, and on a lot of the other trends and technologies that are at the horizon, I would, you know, take a little bit of a backseat view and see where that is all going, because it remains a very complicated, very scattered landscape that we have. And it's not sure which technologies will eventually win, and at all if there will be sort of a consolidation of technology and harmonization of the payments world worldwide. I think that if you look at also what's happening, what you started off with in the political dynamics, you see that the world is more, instead of becoming more unified, it's becoming a lot less unified and a lot more nationalistic and more control focused. And it's a development that I don't like to see, but it is very much affecting fintech solutions. It is also providing opportunities for fintech solutions to make it all much more accessible. But it's also creating, it's bringing enormous risks to the market as well. And you have to be careful where and how to invest in that. So a little bit of a long answer to your short question, but that's what I like to go to.
No, brilliant. Brilliant to have you on the show today and really excited about the year ahead, really. So, yeah, thanks for joining us today. And, looking forward to the release of all of the stuff that we've got planned for next year.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, brilliant. And folks, join us next week for more insights on what's happening in fintech in 2023.
Thank you for listening to the Fintech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.